You know, when we come expecting, when we come anticipating, sometimes we come because we're searching for answers. We're searching for the answers to our problems. Sometimes our back is against the wall. Sometimes the other places that we've searched, we can't find the answers. And sometimes when we travel down those roads seeking answers and we don't seem to find them, our ability to move forward seems to end. And so we begin to seek out other answers, other possibilities, options, if you will. And sometimes that means God. Sometimes we seek out other things. But when we seek out other things other than God, we're left wanting. We're left wanting. We have been created with a spiritual need for God. Does that make sense?
Yes.
God created us that way, that we would want and desire and need that communication, that relationship. That's the way he designed it. That's the way it is always meant to be. And oftentimes, either we don't understand that or we choose to reject it. And we choose to live our lives separately from what God wants to do in our lives. Does that make sense? Okay. And so, in a sense, we choose our own way, thinking that we'll do it ourselves. And that works okay for a while. But that thinking eventually catches up to us. Okay? That thinking eventually catches up to us. And what happens is, there's a scripture in the Bible. See if you remember this. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, there is destruction. Okay? So you see, we can take any way that we choose. God will give us that freedom. God gives us that freedom. And he wants us to have that choice, that free will that is so important to us, you know. But that's important to God too, because he doesn't want us walking around as robots, right? Have you ever seen the movie I, Robot? Okay. And all these hundreds of thousands of robots, that's kind of a freaky movie a little bit. Okay, but all these robots are programmed to do what their master has programmed them to, and they can't stray from that, but this one does, and there's problems, okay? But God doesn't want us to be like that, okay? He has created us in a way that we need and desire, and we lack fulfillment without God in our lives. Okay? We lack fulfillment. And he gives us the freedom to make the choices that we want to make. And his desire as our Heavenly Father is to bless us. Okay? And in an effort to be able to continually bless us, he puts parameters on our lives. Limitations. All right? If you will. Okay? And he says, I want you to stay within these parameters, because within them, there is blessing, and there is favor, and there is safety, and there is health. Okay? And that's, don't we as parents, for those of us who are parents, don't we want those very same things for our children? We tell our children, don't play in the road. Okay? We don't tell them that just because to keep them from having fun. Well, no. We keep them from being hit by a car, right? We don't, okay? All right. And don't play with fire because you're going to get burned. Okay? We're not trying to withhold from them some great fun that they're going to have by playing with fire. No. We don't want our kids to hurt. Okay? We don't want our children to suffer damage. And so we've put parameters on them. I want you in the house. I want you home by 11 o'clock at night. Well, we don't say that just to keep them from having all the fun that is to be had after 11 o'clock at night. No. We do that because all the trouble comes out at 11 o'clock at night. Okay? So, I want you home by 11 o'clock at night so that you're not going to get in trouble or get hurt or, okay, involved in things that are going to hurt you. And so God places these parameters on us, and he says, I want you to stay within these parameters. I don't want you to touch this. I don't want you to eat from this tree that is in the garden. Do you remember that story? Adam and Eve, you may remember them. I don't want you to eat from this tree right here, okay? All the other stuff is yours. But this one's not yours. And so because God placed that tree there, he gave us the will to make our own choice. Okay? But we, wanting to be autonomous, we want to be able to have our own way. We don't like people telling us what to do. Okay? We don't like people telling us that what we're doing is wrong. We want to be able to be free and enjoy everything, and thus we get ourselves into trouble. Oh, yeah. There's a way that seems right, but in the end, leads to destruction. Okay? Many of us have tried that road. It's funny how we all ended up at the same place. You know? But that road will take you down a path of destruction. God does not want that for you. Amen. He desires that you be blessed. He wants to bless. He's the blesser. You got it? He's the one that does the blessing. And so he wants to bless you. He wants to have his favor over you and your family. And he wants to bless everything that you touch. Do you know that? God desires to bless everything that you touch. He desires that you be happy and healthy and fulfilled. But when we stray from God, when we stray from his parameters, his laws that are written in his word, it leads us to trouble. Okay? Sometimes we can't understand that. Sometimes we can't see it until we're in the middle of that destructive place. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to be below bottom, looking up at bottom, in order for us to understand that God wants to pull you up out of that pit. Amen. To a place where he can stand you again on solid ground. He wants to pull you up out of the muck and the mire and the dirt and the stench and the filth, and he wants to put you on a place of solid ground. That solid ground is Christ the Lord. Amen. That solid ground is Christ the Lord. And we were talking yesterday at the Ride for Life. What'd you think of the Ride for Life? Anybody? That was amazing. That was truly amazing. Wow. God worked miracles over and over and over those 3 days. That was unbelievable. Thousands, literally, of people, students, all kinds of people came to see the show. And while they were seeing the show, they heard a word, a testimony of somebody that has been set free from addiction. Wow. Truly miraculous. Miraculous. This guy, Scott Karabulad from Ohio, and his team, the Ride for Life team, at the height of his career, stunt, motorcycle stunts, was making millions, was on the covers of magazines. But traveling down his own path, he got involved in drugs. And to his own demise, if you will, he lost his family. He was in and out of jail, court systems, running from the police, etc., etc. And someone spoke into his life the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a scripture in the Bible, John 8:32, that says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen. And I'm not talking honesty here, friends. The world uses this in a manner that it's not meant to be used. Honesty is not going to set you free, okay? This scripture that is found in the Bible says, "You shall know the truth." What is the truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth, okay? You will know the truth, parentheses, Jesus Christ, and the truth, parentheses, Jesus Christ, will set you free, okay? And so he came to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior of his life. And right, that's right. He was going to commit suicide. What was he? October 4th, was that something? So he was here on October 4th, the celebration now of the day that he was going to commit suicide. And God intervened in his life. Amen. And now, and he restored him once he came to Christ. God restored to him his family, his children. And now instead of running from the police, he is partnering with them. Did you see that? Did you see Sheriff Randy Bauer and the police officers there supporting what he was saying? Can you believe that's even happening? It was unbelievable. I got chills just talking about it. And so now God has restored to him what he has lost, what the enemy stole from him while he was walking away from God. And now he takes his message of hope and faith all across the world. And he uses stunt motorcycles and crazy stuff to point people to Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? That's just amazing. That's amazing. God wants to bless you. God is for you. And you know what the Bible says? If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen. And it's not asking you to fill in that blank. It's saying it don't matter who's against you because God is for you. Amen. Do you understand that? Yes. That's powerful stuff, friends. That's empowering stuff. That's life-changing stuff. That's transforming stuff. Hallelujah. He is the light of this world. He is the light of this world. And because we have his light inside of us, where we go, we shine his light in the midst of a dark world. We turn on the TV and we see things that turn our stomachs. Killings every single day. Violence. Hatred. Yeah? And there's no rhyme or reason to it. There is dysfunction. There is addiction and bondage everywhere. Everywhere. How do we react to this? How do we survive? What is our plan? What is our reaction to this? Our hope is in Christ Jesus alone. Amen. It's not in a president, okay? It's not in a president. It's not in a government. It's not in a money system. It's not in a business. It's not in our own ability. It's in Christ. Amen. It's in Christ. Amen. Jesus told a story of a man that built his house upon the sand. You may have heard this story. And the winds and the waves came, and they crashed against that house, and the winds blew, and it stirred up the waves, and the waves came, and they crashed against this house that he had built upon the sand. Now, I've been to the beach. Have you ever been to the beach and stood on the sand? Well, when the waves come in, they come in to a certain point. If you're standing at the edge of the waters, they come in past you, and they come back out. They recede. And they take with it the sand that you're standing on. And so you have to reestablish yourself in order to stay standing. If you don't, what sand has been sucked out from underneath your feet causes you to fall. All right? And so this man built his house upon the sand, thinking, this is a good thing to do. Right? Following his own path away from God. I'm going to build my house, my hut, upon the sand amongst the coconuts and the palm trees and the piña coladas and this and that. And so the winds come and the storms come. And it crashes against that house, and the Bible says that house fell with a mighty crash. Right to the ground. Just crumbled everything. Okay? But it says, the man that built his house upon the solid rock, all right? This guy did something different, all right? He built his house upon a solid, firm foundation. And then when the winds came and the rains came and the waves came and beat against his house did not move because it was built upon a firm foundation. Now, this story is referencing the firm foundation of Christ Jesus the Lord. When we build our lives on things other than a firm foundation, when we build our lives on our ability to make money, on our ability to make ourselves strong or beautiful, when we build our lives on our ability to have a government or a president or, and you can fill in the blanks, whatever your trust is in, at some point it's going to fail you. At some point, it will fail you. And then what? Okay? However, if we build our lives upon the firm foundation of Christ Jesus the Lord, it doesn't matter what comes. Amen. It doesn't matter what comes. And those same storms are going to come. It's just part of life. Okay? But when they come, we will remain standing because our lives are built upon the solid rock of Christ Jesus the Lord. What is your life built upon? What have you built your life upon? Have you built your life upon the firm foundation of Christ the Lord? Or have you built it upon your marriage? Have you built it upon your family? Have you built it upon your own strength or your own beauty? Have you built it upon the money that you've amassed? Have you, and you can, I mean, we can fill in those blanks with many different things, okay? But when the storms come, will those things be able to save you? No, they will not. No, they will not. At some point, those things may fail you. But Christ Jesus will never fail you. The Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's nearer than our own breath, the Bible says. The Bible says that we are more than what?
Conquerors.
More than conquerors through Christ our Lord. More than conquerors. We all still have struggles, trials, difficulties in our lives. But the ones that remain standing are going to be the ones who have built their hope and their lives upon Christ Jesus the Lord, the rock of our salvation. Amen. He is faithful and he will not betray you. He will not say one thing and then do something else. He will keep his word. He always keeps his word. He has a 100% faithful rating. Yeah? It's amazing the transformation that happens in a life that is surrendered, that first recognizes the need for Christ, secondly, surrenders to that need, and then commits. Yeah? Commits to the to Christ. When you do that, you are allowing God to pour out blessing on you. We've been talking about the topic of giving the last few weeks here. And that involves three different sections or portions, if you will. Do you remember what they are? Throw them out. Let me just hear. Tithing, okay. Finances.
Time.
And talents, okay? So we're talking, giving involves our money, our time, and our talents, okay? And we saw over the course of the last few days here, many of you that are sitting here today and many others in the packed churches and even others within the community that don't even go to church, involved in something that God was doing.
Amen.
All right? Some of us were good at organization, and so we committed ourselves and our time to this great cause. Okay? Others gave money towards this cause to help fund it. It's very expensive. It cost us roughly $13,000 to $14,000 to do that. Yeah. I mean, that's crazy. That's scary, all right? And that takes us beyond our comfort zones, obviously, all right? But God was involved in this.
Amen.
And through prayer and through a lot of effort and hard work and time, God brought that to pass.
Yeah.
And we were able to bring these guys in collectively as a community, okay? And people came from all over to see this thing. But that's what happens when we give of ourselves, give of things that God has given us, our finances, our time, and our abilities. When we commit those together in unity and we use them for the glory of God, He fulfills His own purposes. Do you understand that? Isn't that amazing? When we put aside, because there's 12 to 15 churches that are involved in this, that are all from different denominations. Wait a minute. What? You're telling me that different churches are working together? That's exactly what I'm saying.
Amen.
Okay. You mean you don't believe quite the same things on how they worship? You think they should have more guitars? Of course. You mean, and you're working with people? Yep. I sure am. And I'm glad to do it. And I'm glad to call them my friends. And I'm glad to call them my brothers. And I'm glad to work alongside of them. It's my honor and my privilege. Every one of them. And I hope that you can see that in just the way that we treat each other.
Yes, sir.
And it's honest. And it's legit.
Amen.
But when we give generously. We live in an area where there's a lot of farming, don't we? And we referenced this last time. But if the farmers in this area surrounding us only planted a certain amount in their fields, they only did half of their fields, well, they said, it's too expensive for me to buy enough seed to plant all of these fields. And then if they went to those fields come harvest time, they shouldn't be surprised if they're only harvesting or reaping just a little bit, right? Okay? And it's the same with our giving. It's the same with our giving our finances. If we only give, okay, what do I got left in my pocket Sunday morning after I've spent all my money on other things throughout the week? Okay? I don't mean to meddle. I don't mean to meddle. I'm just teaching you the Word of God. Okay? And so the farmer, he doesn't think like that. He thinks, I have to buy the seed to fill all of these fields, to plant and sow into all of these fields, so that come harvest time, I'm reaping way more than I put in. Okay? If you take one stalk of corn, you put one seed in, and that stalk grows up, you might get 3 ears of corn at the most from that one stalk. And on each ear of corn are hundreds of seeds. Okay? Right? But each seed produces, okay, and each field produces according to what has been planted or sown. And it's the exact same thinking when we give. If we come in Sunday morning unprepared and haven't thought anything about what we're going to give back to God financially, well, then we're only going to get back what we've sown in. Do you understand? Giving is very, very important. We talked last time about how many times the word prayer was mentioned in the Bible and how many times the word love was mentioned in the Bible. And both of those were between 250 and 350. Okay? But the word giving, give, 1,043 times. 1,043 times. Do you think, by chance, that God meant for us to pick up on this? You think so?
Yeah.
Okay? If we only give a little bit, then we're only going to get a little bit. And the same practice goes with investing. If you only invest, if you only buy a certain amount of shares, you're only going to get a return on that investment according to what you invested. It only makes sense. Okay? Whereas if you buy more, then you're going to get more. Okay? If you give more of your time to the kingdom of God and the work of the Lord, then he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. If you give of your efforts, your giftings, maybe you're really good at singing. And so you use that gift in whatever capacity you are able to bless others and to bless God. He's going to bless you to the amount that you are giving. Okay? Maybe you are good at computers. Well, if you use that in the kingdom of God, he's going to bless you in that. He's going to bless you because you're offering that to him and his kingdom. If you sow into the kingdom, if you give into the kingdom of God financially, he's going to bless that according to what you have given. All right? So just as the farmer goes to his fields knowing that he has planted every field, yes, he spent probably more than he wanted to get that seed, to get that good seed so that come harvest time, he's going to reap a harvest of 60, 100 times what he put in. It's the same thinking when we give to God. It's the same thinking, all right? Now, I'm not telling you this so that you're going to give more to Alabama Full Gospel Fellowship. Okay? I'm telling you this so that you will support the kingdom of God wherever he leads you to do that. I will say this. I do believe that it is very important for you to support the church that you go to. All right? The church has a budget. We talked about this last week. And when that budget is not met, that makes things really difficult to keep the church going. Okay? When we give the way we should give, God always provides for there to be what is needed. Always. And there is a trust issue when it comes to giving, isn't there? There is a risk involved, isn't there? All right? So what if I'm a really busy guy. Okay? My kids are involved in this and that, and I've got this ministry, and I've got these other things that take my time. I got my job, you know, and I got to mow the lawn, and I got all these things that demand my time. How am I going to take time to be in church on Sunday morning? I don't have the time. Okay, let's correct that thinking. If I give to God the first part of my week, if I give to God Sunday morning, if I designate that time and I give that time to God, he's going to bless me and make sure that I have the time for all the things that I need to do throughout the week. Amen. That's the thinking. It's flipped. And here's the risk. Well, if I give time on Sunday morning, an hour and a half in church, if I give that time, that's going to mean that I'm going to run out of time throughout the week to do all my stuff. Well, that's where the trust comes in. That's where the trust comes in. You see? Because I'm trusting, okay, God, and he says this, doesn't he? In Malachi 3:8, test me in this. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour so much blessing into your lap that you can't contain it. Trust me. Test me. Try me. Try. And that's what you do. If you haven't done that, that's what you do. You say, okay, God, I'm taking you at your word now. Don't you leave me hanging. I'm going to be in church on Sunday morning now. I'm trusting you. I'm taking you at your word. I'm going to give a portion of what you have given me financially. I'm going to give a tenth, just as a guide. I'm going to give a tenth of what I bring in. I'm going to give that to you, God. Now, I don't want to be found at the end of the week lacking money to be buying my groceries. I got to have food on my table. You think God knows that you need food on your table? You think God knows that you need gas in your vehicle? You think God knows that you need a vehicle to drive? Interesting. He's not going to leave you without. He's going to, because you are relinquishing very gently, very fearfully even, relinquishing a little bit of control to God and saying, okay, I'm trusting you. I'm going to test you. I'm going to test you, God. Watch him. Watch him act. Watch him bless your efforts. Watch him bless you. He promises. He promises in his own word. Okay, God, I'm going to give what you've given me. I'm going to use my talents at church to help the church. I'm going to help take care of those kids. I'm going to help to teach a class. I'm going to give my time as an elder. I'm going to give my time as a trustee or part of the ladies group and all the things that they do throughout this church. Good Lord. Ladies are involved in so many different things. Amen. I'm going to test you in this, Lord. I'm going to come out of my comfort zone a little bit. And that what it is too? Coming out of our comfort zone. Taking a step of what?
Faith.
Taking a step of faith. Stepping out on that limb as it bends down. Trusting that God is going to keep his word. Amen. God always keeps his word. Always. You can trust him. He is faithful. He is faithful. And I wonder if you are at a place in your life where you feel like you don't know where to go right now. You feel like you've come maybe to a brick wall, And you don't know where to go from there. I challenge you this morning to take these three areas and laser focus them. Laser focus your attention on them. And start changing the way you're giving. And you watch and see. You watch and see what God does in your life. The Bible says that it's better to give than to receive. Now, I like to receive. I do. I think it's human nature to like to receive because we're very self-centered. In fact, we're very stingy. We're very stingy. We tend to be selfish. I don't want to give my money away. I want to keep it. I want to buy me a new toy. I want to buy a new guitar. I want to buy a new whatever floats your boat. I want to buy me a new one of those things, okay? And so we withhold. I don't want to give my time on Sunday morning. I don't want to give my time to the church throughout the week because I got so many other things that I want to do, okay? And I don't want to give of my talents because that may involve my time and I want to use my talents to benefit me. But God is always calling us to relinquish that. Always. Always. Why do you suppose that is? Because we're stingy. You are really stingy people. Human nature is just stingy. Okay? I'm with you in that. I'm with you. It's not human nature to give. Okay? But God commands us to do that very thing. To give. All right? I don't want you to be misled. All right? And so the reason I've come to like very much teaching on this topic because it really clarifies some lies that are being told and even demonstrated. All right? On TV. All right? And there's a lot of ministries that are out there, and I'm not going to point them out to you, okay? But what I am going to say is this. Some of them, they're looking to pad their pockets, unfortunately, okay? And I hope that you are able to tell those that are legit and those that are just looking to build their ministry and for whatever reason, okay? There are others that use the income to do missions around this great world, okay? That's a big difference, okay? That is good. That is good. Our church is very involved in missions, okay? Very involved, and we have been for 30 years. But when God desires that we relinquish control and that we trust Him, okay? I want you to be biblically correct in your thinking regarding this sometimes touchy subject, okay? And a lot of Christians and even non-Christians have this thought in their minds because they see it on TV that all the churches want is your money. And you'll hear it all the time. You'll hear it at your workplaces, your schools. All they want is your money. And they're trained to think that way sometimes by those who just don't know and don't want to be there. But other times they're trained that way because of what they've seen. And honestly, the church has not been very good when it comes to this. And so I teach you from the Bible scriptures that help you to understand the truth of giving according to God's word. All right? Now, if you will dedicate yourself to giving in these three areas, your finances, your time, and your talents, if you commit yourself to giving more in those areas or giving when you haven't been, you watch and see what God does in your life. You see if He will not give you purpose. Have you been lacking purpose in your life? Start giving in those three areas. Are you lacking direction in your life? Start committing yourself to give in those three areas. Are you lacking fulfillment in your life? Start giving in those three areas. You watch and see what God does in your life. I wouldn't tell you this if I hadn't experienced it in my own life. But I have.
Amen.
I have. I was on disability for 15 years. Okay? That'll put a hurting on your finances in a hurry. Okay? But God, we committed ourselves that regardless, we were going to tithe. We were going to give of our finances to the Lord. We were going to give of our talents and abilities and time in any way that we can. And God blessed us, and He continues to bless us. I challenge you today to do that very same thing. God wants to bless you, but if we are withholding from Him what belongs to Him, we tie His hands. Do you understand that? Okay. Would you stand with me? Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, we come before You today, Lord, with open hearts. Lord, we recognize that we are humanly stingy with the things that You have given us. We don't like to share. We don't like to give. But Lord, You call us to do those very things. And so, Lord, we're asking You today to help us. Help us in these areas, Lord. Help us to be faithful. Help us, Lord, to give in the way that You have demonstrated to us. As it says in Your word in Romans 5, that, Lord, You demonstrated Your love to us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. That is the true standard of giving, that You gave Your only begotten Son, as it says in John 3:16, that whosoever should believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The standard of giving. Giving back to You what You deserve. Help us, Lord, to think properly. Help us to challenge ourselves. And I know that I don't even need to pray that You keep Your word, because You always do. But I pray that You would show Your people how to give in all of those areas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk to you. I just want to close with this thought. When you go to a restaurant and the waiter or waitress comes and takes care of your table and they bring you your food and they clear your table of things that are in the way, and they bring you extra stuff when you need it, things like this. When you go to leave, what do you do to that waitress? You give her a tip. Give me a couple ideas as to what's a suitable tip. How much percentage? 20%? What else? What's normal? 20%? What else? 10%? So between 10 and 15% that we give somebody that's serving us something that we're going to put in our face. How much percentage are we giving God? When we show up on a Sunday morning and we take out, I've got $3 in my pocket and 10 cents, and we toss that in the plate. What do you think that says to God? Do you think that might be a slap in the face to Him? Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Not because you're giving it. Not even because of the amount. But because you haven't given much thought to it. And God doesn't want your money per se. He's looking to have your heart. God wants your heart. He wants your devotion. He wants relationship with You. And He knows that unless we begin to sacrifice in these areas, that He will not have access into all of our lives. Do you understand that? But think about that. Are we tipping God? Are we tipping him? That's $7. All right? Are we robbing God to what rightfully belongs to him? Think about that. I'm not going to give God my time because I've spent it everywhere else. Let me tell you something. God deserves your time. God needs your time. He deserves your talents. He gave them to you. God deserves your finances. He gave them to you. Think about that.